Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
My parents had always been overprotective of me. I was their only child, after all. I don't mind too much. I knew it was because they cared about me. Until I was 16, I'd never been left home alone at night. But finally, the time came. My parents left on a Thursday and wouldn't return until Saturday night. This was my chance to show them that I was responsible enough to look after myself. The first day was a breeze. Thursday was Netflix night, and summer break had me out with friends by Friday. That evening, my best friend Emma and I lounged on my bedroom balcony. It wasn't a mansion, but our house was spacious with a lovely view. As the 9 p.m. sky dimmed, we sat wrapped in blankets, sipping lemonade and laughing. But suddenly, Emma's laughter stopped. She was staring at something across the street. I returned to my balcony and tidied up the blankets. That's when I smelled the cigarette smoke again. I paused, looked out onto the street, and there he was, the man from earlier. He was standing beneath a streetlight watching me. He finished his cigarette and threw the butt onto the floor, all without taking his eyes off me. The hairs on my arms stood up. What did this guy want? His tall stature, oversized dark jeans, lime green t-shirt, and nearly shaved head were unforgettable. He stood very still with his hands in his pockets and his eyes fixed on us. I felt pretty freaked out, to be honest. But I didn't want Emma to know, so I lied. I said it was probably just a coincidence, and the man was maybe waiting for a cab. Emma wasn't convinced. We sat for a minute longer in awkward silence, the dude still staring at us. I decided to break the tension and show Emma some TikToks I'd seen earlier. This made us feel a little bit better. And when we looked up from the phone, the man was gone. I felt relieved. There was nothing to worry about after all. Emma and I hung out for a bit longer, and then at 10 p.m., we headed downstairs, as she wasn't staying over tonight because she had things to do the next morning. So her dad was driving by to pick her up. We went out onto the porch to wait. I didn't think much of it at the time, but there was this weird cigarette smoke in the air. None of my neighbors smoked, so it was pretty unusual. It's only now that I look back that I realize someone was nearby. Emma's dad arrived just after 10, and then I went back inside. I remembered how quiet the house seemed. This was my first time staying there overnight alone, so it just seemed eerily quiet to me. I returned to my balcony and tidied up the blankets. That's when I smelled the cigarette smoke again. I paused, looked out onto the street, and there he was, the man from earlier. He was standing beneath a streetlight watching me. He finished his cigarette and threw the butt onto the floor, all without taking his eyes off me. The hairs on my arms stood up. What did this guy want? I knew I should have turned away and gone back inside, but instead, I waved at him like an idiot. This must have excited him, because he started swinging around and around the lamppost like he was in a musical movie or something. Then, as if he couldn't get any creepier, he started grinding and gyrating against the pole as if he was making love to it. This was too gross. I immediately turned and went into the house. I thought about calling my parents, but I didn't want to worry them. So instead, I went around the house, checking that I locked all the windows and doors, and then I headed to bed. I woke up on Saturday morning and everything seemed ordinary outside. No sign of the man from last night. My parents were coming back home tomorrow, so I did a few chores and then went out with some friends. I got home around 9 p.m., and by 10, I was back on the balcony enjoying the stars coming out. The night was quiet. There wasn't much traffic where I lived. But then, the silence was interrupted by a giggle. Not a cute giggle of a child, but a gravely snicker. I peered over the edge of the balcony and was greeted by the smiling face of the man. This time, I didn't stay to watch him. I went back into the house and hid in my closet. I called Emma on my mobile and told her everything. She was extremely helpful, trying to calm me down while her dad called the police from his phone. Then, I heard this sound of smashing glass from downstairs. The man was in my house. I wanted to scream, but Emma helped me to stay quiet. Tears welled up in my eyes and spilled onto my cheeks. "Emma," I whispered, "if he gets in here, what will he do to me?" "Don't think about that now. Do you have anything you can use as a weapon?" she asked. I had nothing. Suddenly, everything went quiet in my house. I held my breath. Maybe the man wouldn't find me. The silence seemed to go on forever, although it was probably only a couple minutes. Suddenly, the closet door was thrown open, and I screamed. I dropped the phone and hid my face behind my eyes. I felt hands grab my wrists and pull me up. Terrified, I began to flail my arms, batting the man away.
"Natasha, stop! It's me!"
The voice was Emma's dad. He had come to rescue me. After calling the police, he jumped in his car and made his way there. I asked where the man was now, and Emma's dad explained that he was locked in the garage. Emma's dad had entered the house through the same broken window as the man, and when the guy wandered into the garage, Emma's dad closed the door and locked him in. Sirens blared in the distance, getting closer. Moments later, the police arrived and made their arrest. Emma's dad let me stay with them until my parents got home the next night. I'm so grateful for them for everything that they did. There's no way I could have stayed alone in that house for another night. My name's Hannah. When I was 16 and living in Texas, I was obsessed with horror stories. I couldn't get enough of them. Horror movies, books, reading Reddit forums, and watching true crime on YouTube. Never in my wildest dreams did I think that one day I'd be the main character in my own true life horror story. The story I'm about to tell you unfolded on a summer's day in my hometown. My parents would go out to work, and I'd hang at the house, enjoying my summer vacation. Sometimes I'd invite friends over, or we'd go chill at the mall. Today, though, everyone was busy or out of town with their family. I didn't mind spending the day alone. The air con in the house was better than the Texas heat anyway. It was approaching lunchtime, and I was getting hungry, so I decided to order from DoorDash. My parents absolutely hated DoorDash and food ordering apps. They just read some weird story online about creeps delivering food. But like, who even believes those? Millions of people use DoorDash every day with no problem. So, I get on the app and ordered from Chick-fil-A, my guilty pleasure. At this point, everything seemed normal. I placed the order and was notified, "Your driver, Eddie, is on his way." I don't really like answering the door to delivery guys, so I made a specific request to leave the food on the doorstep. If you've never used DoorDash before, let me tell you, that's a totally normal request. The food delivery person usually comes up to the door, leaves the food at the door, and then updates the app to say that the food has been delivered. Sometimes they might knock on the door or ring the doorbell, just to make sure that you know. But either way, it's a pretty normal thing to do. Eventually, I got a notification on my phone that Eddie was on his way, and then another saying that he was pulling into my street. Usually this would mean I'd hear a soft thud of my food being dropped on the porch, and then my phone would beep to let me know that the delivery was made. But not today. I heard the car door open and close, footsteps as Eddie approached the house, and then nothing. Weird. How long does it take for this guy to drop off my food? I was upstairs in my room, so I went to the window and peeked out. I could see his car on the street, so I knew he hadn't left yet. I checked my phone. He definitely hadn't updated the app to say that the delivery was made, so I assumed he was still on my porch. And then I saw him. He walked back out onto the driveway and looked right up at my bedroom window. He was tall, scruffy, a bit unkempt looking, but there was something in his eyes that freaked me out. They were so dark, like he had no irises, just big black pupils. I quickly moved away from the window. "Just hurry up, dude, and leave." Next, I heard three loud, slow knocks on the front door. What the actual fuck was going on? I stood in silence in my bedroom, afraid to move. Eddie knocked again, but this time louder, more forceful. I called down that he could just leave the food on the porch and I'd come get it. The knocking continued, louder, more forceful. This was when I realized he wasn't just knocking now. He was kicking the door. Was he trying to get in? I moved towards the top landing of my house where I had a good view of the door and called down again. "Is there a problem with my order? You could just leave it on the doorstep. It's fine, really." I tried to keep my voice steady, but inside I was shaking. "Hannah," came Eddie's voice. "Let's not play games. Open the door." I don't know how else to explain it, but his voice wasn't like a normal human voice. It was the voice of a madman. The type of voice you heard in horror movies like Hannibal or The Shining. This dude was going to kill me, I just knew it. No sooner had the thought passed my mind when the door broke open. There, at the bottom of the stairs, stood Eddie, his tall figure silhouetted in the Texas sun. With Eddie in the house, my brain ceased to function, and my body took over. I ran into the nearest room, my parents' bedroom, and barricaded myself in. Downstairs, I could hear the muffled sounds of Eddie ransacking the house. Then, nothing. I thought maybe he'd left. Maybe he'd just robbed the place, but then, the door handle to my parents' bedroom began to jiggle. Eddie's voice, eerily calm, sent shivers down my spine. "Hannah, you didn't leave me a tip. But such a pretty young thing like you can surely find a way to pay me back." The horror of the situation truly hit me. This man was here to violate me. A surge of adrenaline pushed me into action. I pushed open my dad's closet, where he keeps his golf clubs, and hid myself beside the door. The next few seconds seemed to stretch into hours. Eddie managed to use a knife from the kitchen to jimmy open the door. As he stepped in, I swung the golf club with all my might, catching him off guard. There was the sound of something crunching, and then Eddie screamed, grabbing at the back of his head. Without wasting a second, I bolted from the room and ran to a neighbor across the street. Thank God they were home, and I was able to call 911. The cops arrived pretty quickly, but still, Eddie had vanished before they got there. The police took the matter very seriously, but I heard from my parents that DoorDash denied having an Eddie on file. It turns out they were lying to us, though, and lying to the police, because weeks later, we read a news article about a DoorDash delivery guy named Eddie who brutally attacked a group of teenage girls having a slumber party. That could have been me. Today, years later, I still deal with the trauma from that event. I'm scared to be home alone and decided to get a license to conceal and carry a weapon. I know that my story is rare, DoorDash is probably safe for the most part, but just remember, creeps and weirdos are out there. Always trust your instincts and be wary, especially when you're home alone. Not everyone is who they appear to be. This story takes place only last year. I was home from college for the summer, spending time with my friends and family. One evening, an old school friend, who was also back in town for summer, invited me to a party. It was the next town over, so I agreed to be the designated driver. There wasn't much going on in my town, so I was glad to have something to do. And if I'm honest, I was hoping for a summer fling. So I got dressed up in my cutest outfit. We arrived at the party a little later than everyone else, and it was in full swing. My friend knew a few people there, so she quickly disappeared. I didn't know anyone, and with my friend already off having fun, I just hung around the food table, nibbling on snacks. Eventually, this guy approached. He was not really my usual type, but still good looking. He started a conversation with me, and it was clear that he was into me. Perfect. My summer fling. Our conversation flowed effortlessly, spanning from our favorite movies to whimsical stories of childhood pets. By the night's end, we traded phone numbers, and in the following week, we texted almost nonstop. I felt like we had a really strong connection, and eventually, we met up and hung out a few times. That's when everything started to go wrong. What had seemed like a fun and casual connection took a darker turn. His messages flooded in nonstop, shifting from friendly banter to an uncomfortable clinginess. I tried to pull back, hoping he'd get the message, but he didn't. His barrage of messages took an aggressive tone, and though it had been just a fortnight since our first meeting, I felt the weight of his obsession. I couldn't let this go on. I felt kind of bad at first. Had I not been clear enough about this being a summer-only romance? I decided to confront him and be honest. I called him, hoping for an amicable resolution. When I told him I wasn't looking for anything serious and that maybe we should call it off, he started telling me how I was the love of his life. He said that no one had ever made him feel this way, and that we were destined to be together. Dude, we only met 2 weeks ago. I tried to be as kind and understanding, explaining that I was going back to college in a few weeks and it wasn't possible to have a long-distance relationship. This was the final breaking point for him. He erupted into anger, hurling insults, his voice chillingly morphing from sweet to sinister. I should have hung up the phone, but I just sat there and took the abuse. When I didn't say anything, he responded with the most chilling statement yet. "I'll be seeing you soon." The line went dead. Panic set in. He knew I was alone this weekend, as my parents were out of town, but he didn't know their address. I'd always done the driving on our dates, so he had no idea where I actually lived, other than the town name. But just to be safe, I locked all the doors and windows. When I felt safe enough, I headed to bed. My sleep was interrupted at 3:20 a.m. when my phone buzzed with a notification from my Ring app. The security footage revealed him lurking outside, an indistinct object in his hand. I watched through my phone as he stood on the small porch, staring unblinkingly at the front door. I don't know why, but I decided to talk to him through the Ring camera. Really, I should have called the police and stayed silent, but I was so shocked to see him there, I wasn't thinking right. "What are you doing here?" I said. The guy turned to the Ring camera, and that's when I saw it. The indistinct item in his hand was a knife. Startled by the camera, the guy turned and left, only looking back once to see if I was still watching him. I reported the incident to the police and handed over all my messages and Ring camera footage to them. It turns out that by sharing so much personal information with this guy, he was able to log into my social media accounts. You know how they ask some weird information like your pet's first name or your mom's maiden name? Well, I told him everything that he needed to know. It felt disgusting to know that this relationship I was building had been exploited. And even more terrifying to know that this sharing could have gotten me killed. It's alarming how easily personal antidotes can be weaponized in our digital age. Guard your stories, no matter how trivial they may seem. Enable two-factor authentication, and be mindful of whom you share your life with. The nights still hold a tinge of fear for me. Please, let my experience be a lesson. Stay safe and vigilant.